And that's subject to change. Yeah, it's gonna change really quick because it's 2 Kings chapter 2. Told you. If you was here Wednesday, that'd be funny to you. 2 Kings chapter 2. We're gonna take a quick turn all the way over in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. All right, we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 2. That's the main place, 2 Kings chapter 2, right around verse 15. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 15. We'll do a quick turn over in Galatians chapter 6. And I might reference something out of 1 Kings. Can I give y'all a quick thought for while y'all are turning there? What it means to some of us to be sitting clothed in our right mind at the feet of Jesus. And some of you sitting in this very room, that was a mountain too high. Sitting here. Sitting in your right mind. Clothed in Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. Y'all know where that comes from, right? As a demonic man who was hiding out in the tombs. Naked. They said that they'd put chains and shackles on him, but he'd bust them. What was meant to hold him down couldn't hold him down anymore. Natural things that should make us not want to do bad things didn't work. But Jesus. Is there anybody in here sitting you're just sitting here because but Jesus? All of a sudden Jesus said, I'm not going to let you live that way anymore. I think we might have lost some things over the years in the church because we forgot just about that simple thing. Yet for Jesus stepping off into our mess when we least expected it. And definitely before we ever deserved it. We never deserve it. But the gift of God shows up. Yeah. I tell you this, but y'all are making it difficult to preach today. Y'all are so quiet. And at that point right there, I was sitting there yesterday, and I wasn't going to add that part to the message, but God said, just say that part. Somebody will resonate with them. And he said, they are going to shout. So I'm just thinking that somebody in here is shouting on the inside. You got a secret shout. Get that old secret shout, you know, because you don't want your mascara to run. You don't want to mess up your new shirt. I get you. Let's look over. Are y'all ready to go somewhere? John, I'm glad you showed up this morning. He said, he manned it. All right. No, but John, he put a bug in my ear. I don't even know how long ago. It's been a long time. I mean, it could have been within this year. It could have been 2 years ago. But we talked about a message about the bears, right? The bear, the she bear. And I've heard it preached, and I don't think it was right. I was in church about a year, and the preacher used it in context like this. Don't you make fun of preachers or the bears will get you. And I went, yeah, yeah. Kind of in context, about right. So if you're ever making fun of me, there's a bear waiting on you. So I waited, and God got it in context and makes it a whole lot better than that. But let's start in Galatians chapter 6. And I'm going to go to 2 Kings chapter 2, I promise. I'm trying to help Joy stay connected. There ain't no telling what I'm going to say today. Y'all just bear with me. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, be not deceived. Will y'all look at that, or just at least listen to me when I say this? I'm not going to be all spiritual. I'm not going to be all preachy on you right here. I'm just going to tell you an honest to God truth that I've learned over 20 some odd years, and being honest with you, in 48 years, this is an absolute truth. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. Let's just go ahead and catch the rest of that. For he that soweth to flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I want to tell you this, and I'm going to make it plain. I'm not going to get all excited, and you might not feel Holy Ghost spiritual bumps all over you at this point right now. But whatever you sow, you will reap. And if you sow into your flesh, lying, stealing, drinking, fornication, adultery, worshiping other things, lying, any of those things, if you do those things, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you come from, if you sow those things, you will reap the benefit. You will reap the repercussions of those things. I wish I would do better at preaching some of this sometimes, because it doesn't need to be shouted. It don't need to be, don't you drink, don't you. I just want to tell you this. When you do those things, you reap those things. And here's the point I want to make to you, is you don't get to choose how they come back. You don't get to choose how the crop comes in. Amen? I wish I would sit here and beg some of you, and my inkling, my desire is maybe to lean towards the younger people, but I have a feeling just about everybody in this room struggles with this. We think we can do certain things and we won't reap the benefits of it. We'll talk about people and gossip about people and be mean-spirited and think God's going to bless that somehow. You're crazy. It's not going to bless. There's a crop a coming. You're going to get mean. You're going to get lies. And you're going to get trouble. Amen? Your name's going to be banted around. Your name's going to lose its worth. Amen? I learned something a long time ago. I might throw this out on you real quick while I'm still standing here. I want to say this. If you get around to talking about people, if you realize that somebody's always talking to you about somebody else, realize this. When you're not around, they're talking about you. Goodness gracious, how about that? Get around some people. I'll give you a problem, and then I'll give you a solution. I like that kind of stuff. I don't like somebody just gives me all the problems. I'll give you a solution. Hang around some people who don't talk about other people, but talk about ideas. Who talk about things like, this is what I want to do. This is what I've been called to do. These are the things that I want to do. These are the callings that the Lord has on my life, and these are the things that I want to do in my lifetime. Get around somebody who's talking about ideas instead of other people. Whew. Man, y'all want to go on home now? We preached enough. That changed everything we got going on. Amen? Good Lord. I don't know. I'm in a joy with myself right there. I don't know if I'm just feeling my pastoral day of appreciation or what. Just sowing moats right here. Go to 2 Kings chapter 15. I want to show you something. I'm referencing, there was a setup message on Wednesday. If you get a chance, go back and listen to it. It was a beautiful setup message. I believe it was a beautiful setup message. It was about when you win, or when you do right, or when you have success. Is there anybody in here that's won, had some success as a Christian, and you still feel like you've been whooped, or you've been beat, or you did something wrong? And I prefaced this, Ed, I prefaced this the other day. I prefaced it like this. We know we've been beat up because we've sinned, right? And we know we've had to go through hard times. Amen. We know that those things happen. We kind of expect those. Amen. I do. I expect those things. Like when I've sinned or when I've messed up, I expect things that they're going to go bad. And when things are going by, you know, just health issues and life issues, and I think, all right, well, you know, that's just a typical life thing. But man, when you have a victory, amen, souls are being saved, lives are being saved, changed, the church is growing, everything's going the way it's supposed to be going, and you still find, it seems like you're in a worse fight then than you were when you were sinning, or even when you were going through a physical issue, amen. But see, that's where we were talking about Elijah. He went to God and said, I'm ready to die. Right after he caught fire down from heaven. Look, y'all are so cool in here. If you'd call fire down from heaven, you'd walk around like a chicken in a chicken yard. You'd walk around like a rooster in a chicken coop. Amen? Oh, golly bum. Y'all are so spiritual. Oh, I'd be all right with it, brother. I'd just praise the Lord. No, you'd be like, let me call another bolt down. All right? Be honest with you. Now listen, this guy did that, and you would think, man, he got rid of 450 false prophets of Baal. He tore them up. He showed God great. Next thing you know, he's all by himself and lonely and miserable and bitter and thinking, God, let me die. And you know what God told him? Man, Charlie, check this out. On his worst day, you know what God said? You're going to anoint two kings and another prophet named Elijah. Elijah. You know what he told him? Emmy, you know what he told him? Watch this right here. You know how you think you're not worthy of anything, and you know you feel like you need to get out of the game. You know how you feel like you don't do good enough. You know what God told him? I want you to go anoint somebody just like you. Ed, does anybody in here ever want to run or shout or praise God? Could you imagine that? Have you ever got low, Ed, in ministry? Surprised, right? I've been pretty low. Could you imagine if God says, you know what I want right now? I'd like you to go lay hands on somebody and pray for them because I need another one just like you. Whew. Well, I thought I was pretty bad. Hey, man, I thought I was pretty low. You mean you want somebody like me? Y'all read the Bible different sometimes. Just get a, because you know what? We'll talk to ourselves. Let the devil, I know I do this. I let myself and the devil convince me that God doesn't need somebody like me. Amen? Whew. So we jump over to 2 Kings chapter 2 finally. So, I'm trying to get you out. Watch this right here. This is after he anoints Elijah, the next prophet, and this is after that Elijah's been called up. Amen? Y'all ready for some bears? Some of you men in here, help me out. And when the sons of the prophets, which were the view of Jericho, y'all seeing that? 2 Kings chapter 2, 15? All right, y'all are there, everybody? I've said that correctly. And when the sons of the prophets, which were at Jericho, saw him and said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elijah. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Do y'all see that? Okay, we're going to get into the meat of the message now. All right, well, I promise. We're about 15 minutes. We're about done. That's a total lie. Some amazing stuff's just happened. God swooped down with some chariots of fire and picked up Elijah and shot him up into the air. I know that sounds crazy, but it's in the Bible. Is that cool or what? Would you like to have been there to see it? I mean, could you imagine all of a sudden, I don't even know what a chariot from heaven looks like. I will find out one day. Scoops down and Elijah just gets on board. Elijah looks at it and goes, this must be the time that God wants me to take over. Amen? That's cool, ain't it? Sometimes it's your time to pick up the mantle and do something with it. Let me make it more clear. Some of y'all are giving me a vague look. It's time for you to pick up the mantle and serve the Lord. Stop making excuses before it's too late. Stop giving God all of your excuses. He needs you. You didn't show up to this meeting by accident. Well, there's only a few of us. Well, that makes it even more clear. He wants you. Elijah picks up the mantle and smites the water. If you don't know this, the reason how they got over to this little island where Elijah was picked up, Elijah smote the water. And they went hither and thither. I wanted to say it so bad I couldn't help it. Thank you. Yes, Peyton, you can mention it later. Hither and thither. And they walked over on dry ground. I think they would say that in South Carolina, hither and thither. Sorry. He picks up the mantle, smites the water, and he goes back across all alone. Amen? And he had some people watching. Man, I could preach. I might just preach a little bit longer today if y'all don't mind. The 15-minute rule's now off. There's always people watching. Do it. Do it right for God. There's always people watching. Some of you go, well, I don't know if anybody's paying attention. They are. You've named the name of Christ. You said you've been born again. At least you say you go to Flat Top Church. Whatever the case may be, you told somebody you're in. Praise God, they're watching. You act like it. Amen? You act like it. That means get your eyes focused on Jesus. Commit your way to Him and let Him lead your life. You ain't going to be perfect, but you will be an example to how good God can be to a human being. Whew. Smoked the water and walked over to the other side. And here's what they said. They come right out and said, well, God's anointing is on you and it used to be on Elijah. That's good, ain't it? Praise God. People will know, but guess what? They said it out of their mouth. But watch what happens on the very next verse. People can be really dumb. Let me rephrase that where some of y'all won't be mad at me. I can be really dumb. Amen? Watch this right here. And they said unto him, behold, now there be with the servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord have taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or in some valley. And he said, ye shall not sin. Do you know what they just said? You have the anointing on your life. You have taken his place, but somehow there is the old way is out there somewhere hidden. Don't take this wrong way. Hear what I'm saying. The old way, the way that we used to do it is hidden in the mountains or the valleys. Can we go look for it? You've just seen what God's in, but you're looking for what God used to be in. Let that sink in. We all let that sink in, and don't attach that to anything but your service to God. Don't attach it to preaching, church, ministry, singing, worship, nothing. Just put it to this, how you serve God. Whatever God is doing, and you know He's doing, be a part of that. Hook your wagon to that. Amen? Hook your wagon to that. Don't go, but there was a way before. You know where it went? It went to glory. Guess what? The one that they should have been paying attention to was standing right there in front of them who had just walked across on dry ground, who had the mantle, who had the calling, and they just kept begging, God, wish y'all help me preach right here. This is good. This, I was going to say it's gooder than you're letting on. It is. You shall not sin. Verse 17, and when they urged him till he was ashamed. No. That's the King James is awesome. But that word right there is mess you up. He was ashamed. No, he was embarrassed. Woo, I said that loud. Anna, did you hear that? I said embarrassed. Did you hear it? It's loud. Embarrassed. Look at this. He was ashamed. He said, embarrassed. He said, sin. They said, therefore, 50 men, and they sought for 3 days. And guess what they didn't do? And find him. He was embarrassed. Can we look? Listen, I believe this is the problem with our churches. This matter, let's just go ahead and put a stamp on it. That's what's wrong with Flat Top Church a lot of times is we're running around in circles looking for something that doesn't exist. When we know what God wants us to do, but we're over here chasing something that maybe was something that happened before. Woo! He was embarrassed. He's like, God, why don't we just, I got it. Let's go. But instead, they wasted time searching for something that wasn't there. Some of y'all are going to waste your time looking for something or talking about something or seeking something out that don't even exist anymore. God's in what He's in. Amen? Do you know why it's why God done stuff different every time through Elijah and Elijah and through Jesus? He healed people different every single time. He done something. Every miracle was different. You know why? Because He didn't want them to fall in love with the process instead of the one who made the process. If you're not careful, you're in love with the process instead of the one who made the process. You know, you can love Jesus in a cave as much as you can a church building. One of the greatest churches ever started was started in the cave of Adullam by David, with people who were bankrupt. They were thieves and liars and vagabonds. And golly, watch this. Watch this right here. It's the hardest one. Y'all got to need to wake up over here. And family. And family. Liars, thieves, bankrupt, spiritual marauders, thieves, all them, right? And his family. Never mind. Golly, Charlie, people, they don't know. They act cool up in here, don't they? Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, brother. My that family's tough. Ariel, first amen I wanted from you in 10 years. Family can be tough. Could you imagine if you could get your family on fire for God and lead them and get them to do something? Golly, what an awesome church. And it was in a cave. I know what my family would. Charlie, this is what my family would say. Best you could do? Cave? Couldn't you do any better than that? But with family, you could say, shut up. It's the best cave you ever going to be in. Ah, golly, I'm sorry. I just got a brother. I got an older brother. Amen? Yeah, that should explain everything. Let's go. Y'all read. I'm sorry. I'm just killing time. I'm just having a time of my life. And when they came again to him, is that where we're at? No. Elijah wrapped the man on it. Let's see, 15. Yeah, it was. When they came again to him, they tarried. Yeah, verse 18. And when they came again to him, and for he tarried at Jericho, and they said unto him, did I not say unto you, go not? I love it. Pastors can do this. They can say, I told you so. Sorry. It's in there. It's biblical. And the men of the city said unto Elijah, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city, Jericho, which is a cursed city, should have never been rebuilt, shouldn't even been a place of living, because God leveled it to the ground and they kind of built it back. You hear me? It's a wicked place. It's a cursed place. It's a wrong place. But sometimes God will put good people in bad places to help the bad place. Amen. Well, that's good. As my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground is barren. He said, the water's bad, and the fruit's bad. Sometimes, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to shoot you straight right here. Sometimes God doesn't want you to leave a bad place. He wants you to change the water. Amen? He wants you to be there. He wants you to be an element. Let me show you. Y'all don't believe me. Watch this right. He wants you to be an element. Verse 21, and he went forth under the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus the Lord, I have healed these waters, and there shall not be from thenceforth any more death or barren in the land. So the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elijah, which he spake. You know what he did? He went to a cursed place and he became an element of change. I could preach for 45 minutes from this point to that, about salt. Salt never, and Jesus in the New Testament says we are the salt of the earth. Salt never gets changed by its environment. It always changes its environment. If salt gets on you, you're changing. It ain't. Praise God. Listen, I want to help some of you Christians out. Praise God. If you're wondering what, it's tough to be around my friends. It's time to hang out. It's tough to be here. Praise God. If you are salt, you get in there and you change the element. Guess what? People should walk out of your life. You shouldn't have to walk out of everybody else's life. But praise God, change the water. Amen? Change the conversation. Put Jesus in it. Put Jesus in your passion. Amen? You know where I started ministry at? I started out picking up some garbage. I told you that before. But here's where I started out. Things that I love to do, I just put Jesus in it. Working out, playing ball, put Jesus in it. Amen? Put a little Jesus in it, throw it in there, and guess what? It changes the water, and then it changes the fruit. It says they're no longer barren. Praise God. The water was better, guess what? But there was fruit there. There can be fruit in tough places. Y'all good? Man, are y'all having a good time? I'm having a time of my life right now. This is like eating dessert. Johnny, are you ready? We're there, buddy. It's the whole reason I came. I called Johnny. I texted him. I said, you got to make it to this service. This is for you. Then he sent me a text back nervously. what's it about? I was going to lie and say some kind of weird, you know, way off. Hey, but I didn't want to let the cat out. I didn't want to let the bear out of the bag. Watch this right here. So then, guess what? He went up from thence unto Bethel. Bethel is, remember when you say Bethel, that's the place where we met God. Do you have a Bethel in your life? I do. Bethel, right? Remember when Jacob met God and he called it Bethel, the meeting place? It was when he was running from his brother and he had failed in every way possible and God met him anyway. Yeah, y'all remember. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. Sorry about you bald head fellas. I ain't going to preach that part. But let's go back a little bit. It took me, because I want to get into context here. I want to make sure, what's going on here? Because when you first look at it, I know what we think, especially if you're over 30. Right? If you're over 30, I'm going to go ahead and give you a ballpark thing. 30 years old, first thing you think is, sorry, kids. Punk kids. Listen, I'll tell you if you're old or not. If you go to a ball game or any other event where there's people there and people under 20 get on your nerves, you're old. Amen? You need to do two things. You need to change your attitude or don't show up. Stay at home and watch Andy Griffin or something. Amen? But if you got out there and they're talking too loud or making too much noise and laughing and everything, that's what young people do. Whew, golly bum, I'd probably help five of you. Watch this right here. It's not the children's fault. That's where I wanted to get the message from. Do y'all know who Rehoboam is? Jeroboam. Jeroboam is the third king of Israel. Amen? Amen? He come out and he was the first wicked king. He was the first wicked king. Oh, Jeroboam was. He was the first wicked king. You know what it did? He took two cattle, false images, and he took one to a city, and guess where he took the other one? To Bethel. He took the little calf, the little false idol, and he set it in Bethel. Way before these children were ever born. Way before these children were ever born. You know what? Matter of fact, it was their grandparents. Ain't this amazing? That where Bethel is, here comes a wicked king who sets down a false idol. He says, nobody has to come to Jerusalem anymore to worship God. You can worship in Bethel this little false idol. And I'll guarantee you, all the people of that day, everybody who was in charge of the temple, said, that ain't good. But we ain't going to fight against it. We ain't going to make a big deal about it. Amen? And I'm really preaching to you right here because I want to be honest with you. The grandparent generation allowed something to be set down in a place that God was supposed to reign. A meeting place with God. You know what? And they let the enemy set it right in the middle of town. And they didn't worship it per se, probably pretty much. But they left it there. Then the next generation come along and said, well, little Jesus and cow couldn't hurt. Amen? Little cow worship, little Jesus worship. And don't get mad at me and meet me after church because I probably won't have the time to talk to you about it. But I guarantee you, most of us in the church anymore, we got a mix of religion. We got Jesus and about 50 other things that might be all right. Let me go ahead and bust that bubble. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. It's Jesus and the work at Calvary where he died for your sins and mine, that you had to put your trust and faith in him, repent of your sins, and ask him to be the Lord of your life. Or guess what? All the other stuff, it does nothing to get you into heaven and nothing to keep you in standing with God. Well, this group's all right and that group's all right. They mention Jesus. The devil mentions Jesus. Amen? You got to be saved, born again, and he's got to be the Lord of your life. And when I mean Lord of your life, when you're doing everything you want to do, or you think about what to do, if there's not a still small voice in there, if the Spirit of God says you are in the wrong place and you need to change, then you need to check up on your salvation. And stop telling people you got something that doesn't even do anything in your life. Whew, it's quiet in here. I'm just hoping that's probably what it is. So let's get to these kids. Let's get to these bad kids. This is where God put on my heart. Let's just talk about these bad, bad kids. The old bad kids was down there, and a man of God came through, a prophet. Amen? The prophet of God. Watch this right here. The prophet of God come by, and they didn't recognize him because they had never seen one, heard one, or anything, so they didn't know how to act. The kids don't know how to act because mom and daddy don't know how to act, and the grandparents talk about a time where God was awesome, but they didn't show anybody how to get rid of the sin that was in the midst of it. Amen, preacher. Go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. Talking any way they can to the real, true Word of God because they don't know any better. He turned back and looked on them and cursed them. This is Rock'em Sock'em, verse 24. In the name of the Lord, and there came out forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tare 42 children of them, and he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. Eric, this makes the Bible readable. I'm telling you right now, don't be mad. Bro, that preacher, he's so... Two she-bears cut out of the woods. Two she-bears. And kill 42 kids. And everybody in here is going, our preacher's psycho. Excited about a bears killing 42 kids. I'm just a little excited. If that helps. Because you don't read that every day. You don't see it. But then I started thinking. The bears represent the consequences of sins. The bears that got cut loose, do you know who got hurt the worst? Everybody's going, the 42 children. The children will say, yeah, the 42 kids. You've never been a father or mother. The father and mother of the 42 children were miserable because their children had been eaten by the consequences of them allowing a little bit of sin to reign in their lives. And then the grandparents sat back and said, the parents should have done better.